found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26, and also the other Gospels that likewise record the denial of Peter. I left off speaking last Sunday about Judas, how that he came with a band of soldiers into this garden where Christ had been praying, and how that he had given unto these soldiers that sign that he who he would kiss would be the one that they should take hold upon him. And we find that Judas came, and according to history, he fell upon the neck of Jesus and he kissed him. This was a kiss of betrayal. This was a deceitful kiss. This was a kiss that did not come from his heart, my hearers, but it was a sign that he had given unto these soldiers, and he was the one that they should take prisoner. How different, my hearers, are the kisses of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are kisses of sincerity. They are kisses that come from his heart of love. They are kisses that are faithful. Have you ever had a kiss of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know what a kiss is? Has he ever given you a word? Has he ever given you a token of his love, of his favor in your soul? If he has ever kissed you in this way, he never will curse you away from him. For this man, Judas, he was then a traitor. We read in the Gospel according to John that when this band of soldiers came and Judas at their head, that Jesus went out to meet them. And Jesus spake unto them and said, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And when he said this, he let a little of his power be seen. For immediately this band of soldiers fell down backwards to the ground. Had he wished, he could have easily escaped out of their hands. But the hour was come for which he had come into this world. And therefore he revealed unto these soldiers that it would have been a simple matter for him to have dashed them all into hell in one moment, had he desired to do so. This, my hearers, likewise teaches us that all the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ who go on in their sins and perish in them, they will be turned backward into hell forever and ever. But all those who have been given in this life to fall forward upon their knees in an act of gratitude and of humility, that they are yet alive, that he hath not cast them into that pit that they deserve. Oh, what a mercy for those that have been given to fall down before him and to acknowledge him to be the king, to seek him to be their king, their ruler, their guide. Have you done this, my hearers? Has this happened unto you in this life, that you have had to fall in before him like the Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus? He was given to fall down before him, and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And now, my hearers, when this took place, we find Peter, this servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, this man that was so passionate and so filled with love to Jesus, when these soldiers attempted to take him, then he said unto the Lord, Shall I slay them with the sword? And he took out his sword as he spake, and he cut off the ear of one of the high priest's servants. Oh, this man, Peter, he couldn't see that they were going to manhandle his Savior, his Lord, his precious Redeemer. Oh, his heart could not see that they would do something like that to him. And therefore he instantly took the sword and he cut the ear of this servant off. Oh, you may be sure that all the other soldiers immediately took hold of their swords. That was going to be a bloodbath. But no, the Lord Jesus said unto Peter, put up thy sword, for they that use the sword will perish with the sword. And if I wished, Peter, then I could call on my Father, and he could immediately send 12 legions of angels. But this is their hour. And he took the ear that had been cut off, and he put it back upon the man's head, and he healed him. Oh, what a thing this must have been to these soldiers, don't you think so? Oh, they were coming to take a man prisoner who even treated his enemies as he had taught when he was here upon earth. Love thy enemies, do good unto them that despitefully use you. And we see Jesus here doing what he had taught. Whether it affected these soldiers or not, my hearers, we do not read. But this was a remarkable man that they came to take prisoner. And now when they took hold of him, then we find that all the disciples fled and ran away from him. They took hold of him and made him prisoner and led him away. Oh, my hearers, look upon this precious Jesus being led away as prisoner. Oh, my hearers, every one of us are prisoners. Prisoners of Satan, prisoners of sin, prisoners of this world. And our Jesus was taken prisoner so that prisoners like you and I, slaves of sin, slaves of the devil, slaves of our own lust and passions, may be loosened. They may be brought out of this prison and may be given to be delivered from all our sins, because he that was bound and taken prisoner, he stood in the room and in the place of such creatures as you and I are. All we read in the book of Zechariah of prisoners of hope. Are you such a prisoner? Oh, you're all prisoners, as I just said. But have you a hope? Has God wrought something in your soul? Have you been given to see your sins and your iniquities and to lament that you are such a wicked creature? Have you fallen in before him? And has he ever come to you with a word of comfort, a word of instruction, a word of reproof? Has he ever spoken to your soul, which has caused you to hope in his word? Are you one of those prisoners? Sometimes, oh, you can't even hope anymore, so that something has taken place in your soul. You can't see that the way you live, the way you act, the way you speak, how weak and how helpless you are against sin, against the world, and against the devil. How often and you fall down before these mighty foes, and you begin to talk to yourself. I often do that, my hearers. I often say, would I do this? Would I act the way I am? Would I treat the Lord the way I do? Would I give way to this and to that if I was a child of God? And all my hearers, that we fear when we are in this state that we are not his children. But when we are brought down to where we can't believe anymore and it becomes a hopeless case on our side, and then he again comes with coming when he will deliver you, prisoner of hope. Oh, are you not looking out of your prison at times? Are you not waiting for him? Are you not praying and sighing that he would deliver you and set you into liberty? forgive your sins and give you the joy, peace, and that reconciliation with God. All prisoners of hope have a hope in this life. Oh, may your hope be enlightened, and may it be again revived by his precious word. These people then who are prisoners, they were likewise in this precious Jesus when he was taken prisoner and led away by this band of soldiers. He was taken then to the high priest hall, where Caiaphas, who is spoken of in this chapter, was the high priest. And he was in the room and place of Annas, who had been the high priest and who had been removed from this office because of something that he had done wrong. And now this man, Caiaphas, he was sitting at the head of this gathering of people called the Sanhedrin. They were the governing and ruling and civil body of the Jews at that present time. And Jesus was brought to this place. And as Jesus was taken away, we find that Peter, this apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, he followed them afar off, it says. In other words, he hung back quite a ways so that he wouldn't be detected. And he followed them afar off. Oh, this man Peter, he had such love for Jesus. He had made such a confession to Jesus that he was not only ready to go into prison, but even to die for him. And the Lord Jesus had spoken unto him and said unto him that even this very night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. But no, Peter says, no. He could never believe that he would do something like what Jesus said to him. And now we find him following this multitude afar off. Oh, I think there are so many dear children of God that are following the Lord so afar off. And when we follow the Lord afar off, then there is no faith in exercise, no love. And then we are so cold and so lifeless and so dead. And the things of time and sense, they have so much to say in us, and we give so weight to it. Oh, when we follow the Lord afar off, we are very close to falling away from God. We need not much. And there we fall headlong into some sin, into some temptation. Oh, how many children of God are following the Lord afar off. And there may be many of you that are listening to me that have never followed the Lord. You are still in your sins. And you are still far from God by wicked works. And if you continue, break this temple down, and in 3 days I will build it again. They thought that he meant the temple that was at Jerusalem. But he had not spoken this about this earthly temple, but about the temple of his body. And my hearers, these false witnesses are a type of so many creatures in the days in which we live, and throughout which this world has stood. So many creatures witness falsely. They are brought to courts. They are bribed. They are paid off before they get there. And they are told just what they should say, even by the lawyers that they have. And they witness falsely. They put their hand on the Bible and they lie. They are filled with deceit. Oh, how many poor creatures do that? How many likewise witness falsely in a religious sense? Oh, there are so many false witnesses, my hearers. So many, as it was throughout the world in the time of Christ, there were many false prophets, and there were many false teachers likewise that deceived the people. So many there are even in our times who witness falsely. There are so many that to have a name and a fame and to be somebody witness falsely to gain a certain position in life. So many likewise witness falsely in teaching the way of salvation as it is in Christ. There are thousands of poor creatures being deceived and being deluded by the doctrine of free will, that man has a will and man can return back to God whenever he wants to. Oh, how many are being misled upon this foundation. How many millions of creatures are being deceived, and these false witnesses teach them that they should live a good and a moral life. They build upon good works and think everything is well for eternity. Oh, how many false witnesses, my hearers, there are that deceive people in a religious way, even amongst the Reformed congregations. Oh, how sad that such poor creatures are led to a position that they are in, and that Scripture shall be fulfilled in them. The blind lead the blind, and they both shall fall into the ditch. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, if we are made honest, and we may witness for God and for his word and for his truth. Oh, may God give me to do so, regardless of what may come of it. And now we find that this dear Jesus is standing before this Caiaphas, and he says to him, "What hast thou to say against all these witnesses that witness against thee?" And Jesus said nothing. Oh, how he fulfilled that prophecy that was spoken of him. As a lamb he was led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. And now this high priest, he became exasperated, and he stood up in his anger, and he said, "I adjure thee by the living God that ye tell us whether ye are the Christ, the Son of God." Oh, this was a question, my hearers, that they wanted answered. Oh, if he answered this, then they would have reasons to put him to death. And Jesus knew that if he spake and said that he was the Son of God, that they would immediately condemn him to be killed. But Jesus was a faithful and a true witness. And he said unto this high priest, "Thou hast said." And he began to say that they would likewise see him, the Son of Man, coming in the clouds to glory. Oh, and then the scene would be reversed. For he was standing before this high priest, and this high priest had to say from his own mouth that Jesus was the Son of God, because Jesus said, "Thou hast said it." In other words, what thou hast said is the truth. But oh, there's a time coming when thou shalt see the Son of Man coming in all his glory. Oh, then you, high priest, and all you soldiers who have taken me prisoner will stand before the bar, and I will be the judge. And then you will have to answer for this crime which you are committing at this present time. And oh, when he confessed that he was the Son of God, then they became angry, and they said, "What have ye heard? What judge ye?" And they said, "He is worthy of death." And then they took him, my hearers, and they spit in his face, and they smote him, and buffeted him with the palms of their hands. They punched him. They manhandled him something awful. And then they smote him with so many things that they began to say, "Prophesy unto us, who has smitten thee?" They ridiculed him and mocked him in his prophetic office, desiring him to say which one of them had smitten him. And now, my hearers, while this was taking place, we find Peter sitting outside of the palace watching this procedure. Oh, when I think of this, and I think of what Peter did just a little while ago when I was talking to you, how he took the sword and he cut the ear of that man off. How could Peter, who loved the Lord Jesus Christ so much, see this go on? That they spit at him, that they hit him with their fists, that they treated him so cruelly and so meanly. Why, you would have thought that Peter would immediately have risen up and went to defend his Lord. Oh, he had said, "I'm ready to go into prison and to die for thee." And now he had a golden opportunity to show his love and show his affection to his Lord and Savior. But there he sat. There he sat. He could watch all this go on without getting up and without going forward and making an effort even to stop them from doing what they were. What was the matter with Peter? Why did he sit like he did? Oh, my hearers, that faith, that hope, that love that Peter had shown to the Lord was not an exercise. He was filled with fear for himself. He was afraid that if they detected him and they found out who he was, then they would take him and kill him. This is the man that said that he was ready to go into prison and to die for the Lord Jesus. He could watch all this unconcerned, without showing any emotion whatsoever. Oh, my hearers, does that not teach us a lesson? Oh, does it not teach us how weak and how frail man is when the Spirit of God is not in exercise? And when we see no beauty, no loveliness, no comeliness in Jesus. And now, my hearers, Peter was so afraid of being detected, but there comes a maid, and she says to him, "Why, you were with Jesus of Nazareth." Did he say yes? "He's my Savior. He's the one who I got all my hope in. Yes, I am a follower of him." No. No. He denied it and says, "I know not what ye speak about." Oh, he denied that he had been with Jesus. Oh, you would say, how is it possible that Peter could do this? He had not been with Jesus. Why, he had confessed before all the apostles that he was the Son of the living God. "Thou art the Christ," he says, "the Son of the living God." And when questioned a little further, he had said, "Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And now, he had not been with him. He denied it. And we find that Peter, he went outside of the palace. And he no more than got outside of that palace. He didn't even have time to think about what he had just done. There stood another maid. And she says to them standing around, "Surely," she says, "this man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And now Peter, he again, with an oath, says, "I know not the man." All Peter is sinking down rapidly, my hearers. All Peter is falling. From one step to another, Peter is sinking. And now, my hearers, we find that there came one that stood by and spake unto Peter and said, "Surely thou wast with this man, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." And then Peter, he began to curse and to swear and to say that he knew not the man. Just like Peter had been filled with passion when Christ spake to him and said that he would deny him three times, and then his passion of love rose up and said, oh, that he was ready to go into prison and to die with the Lord Jesus. And now the passion of his nature got the best of him, and he began to curse and to swear, just the opposite, that he knew not the man. Oh, my hearers, this man Peter, when this maid spake to him, then we find how low faith was in Peter. And that this man, he was trembling before a maid, trembling for his life, trembling that if they took him, he probably would be dealt with just like Jesus. And then Peter, he was again told by another maid that he had been with Jesus. And then Peter began to curse. Oh, Peter probably had never cursed anymore since he had been born again. It may have been that he had lived when he was upon the ship a rough life. If you've ever been on ships, if you've ever been out on the ocean, then you know those that run ships and have mates and helpers on board the ships, they are very rough and uncouth characters. And now we know not what the life of Peter might have been beforehand, but my hearers, we see here that Peter, he began to curse and to swear. Oh, how awful was this for Peter, who had been an apostle, who had taught other people the way of salvation, who had spoken in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and warned sinners to flee from their sins. Here he was, cursing and swearing. My hearers, have you ever cursed? Have you ever sworn? Maybe you say, "No, I never do anything like that." Why, today, my hearers, you can hardly meet a person that don't do that. That's a fact. Regardless of how high they may be in office and what sort of a position they may occupy, or the language that some characters use, filthy language, corrupt language. Oh, their throat is an open sepulcher, and the poison of asps is under their lips. My hearers, that's me and you too. Oh, you may not be a person that curses and swears, but if you will watch your mouth, you will detect yourself using sometimes the same language that other people use who you are working with and who are around about you. Have you never slipped in that? Have you never said a word that was contrary to what you have been praying for to be kept from? Oh, my hearers, we don't want to confess before mankind what we are. But oh, we are such creatures that are sometimes so filled with cursing and so filled with oaths inside that they almost jump out of our mouth. Sometimes we have to bite on our lips to keep them in. But they're there. Oh, we aren't any different than Peter. Peter, he gave vent to himself in this position, and we find this apostle falling into this sin of cursing and swearing and denying that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And I marvel at the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said to you two Sundays ago, what a wonderful thing it was for God to have that fish to catch Jonah so that he didn't sink down into hell. And what a wonderful thing it was for Jesus Christ to have a cock there, a rooster, so that that cock would be used to bring Peter to his senses. And as Peter was in the midst of his cursing and swearing, we find the word of the Lord Jesus Christ being fulfilled, and the cock crowed. Oh, when this cock crowed, my hearers, that was like a knife that went into the soul of Peter. It went into his mind and into his heart. That cock crowing brought him to his senses, brought him to be awake out of that fearful state in which he was in. It brought him to remember the word that the Lord Jesus Christ had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Oh, that word, that burned into his heart and into his soul. And oh, he was so ashamed of himself. He was so filled with remorse that he had acted the way he did. And he looked over at the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus turned and looked upon Peter. Oh, that look that Jesus gave unto Peter. Oh, that look was filled with sorrow, filled with pity. Oh, his apostle, his servant, had been unfaithful to him, had denied him. But oh, in that look, there was love, there was mercy, that went into the heart of Peter. Oh, when Peter saw Jesus looking at him, he could bear it no longer. He was so convinced of his sin, of what he had done, that he went out of that place and he wept bitterly. Oh, he sought a secret place to give vent to his sins and to what he had done. Oh, he commenced to cry and to weep. What have I done? What have I done? Oh, I have denied my Lord, my Savior, my Master. Oh, what a miserable creature am I. Oh, God, be merciful to me, was his prayer, you may be sure of. Oh, the sorrow, the remorse that filled the soul of Peter, broken to pieces by that look, his heart was broken before the Lord. Oh, what a blessing this was for Peter, my hearers. Oh, have you ever been brought by the Spirit of God to confess your sin, to know yourself just like Peter learned to know himself here? Or have you ever sought a place of sorrow and of remorse to give vent unto God what you have learned yourself to be? Oh, my hearers, I would like to go on speaking about this particular subject, this sorrow, this weeping. So many people weep, so many people have sorrow, and they build upon that for eternity. Oh, so many are deceived in this way. If they only can cry, if they only can weep, if they only can confess their sins, it seems to relieve them. And they go on doing this day after day, baby, and building upon this. Never, and never have they been brought by the Spirit of God before God as a sinner in his holy sight. And never have they been given true repentance. That sorrow which the world knoweth nothing of. For the sorrow of this world leadeth to death. See it in so many, my heroes. So many people, they do things that are wrong. So many people have wealth, have influence. They are brought into a position where they lose all their wealth. They lose their influence. They lose their good name and everything that they have. And oh, they are filled with sorrow. They go away weeping, weeping. Where do they go? They commit suicide. The sorrow of this world worketh death, takes the grave. Oh, how many people are filled with sorrow and remorse about various things that they have done in this life. And when they find a place to confess it, it seems to relieve them. But there's no change. They are still the same person. They never have experienced a new birth, a new life, have never been led to the foot of the cross, have never been given to confess before God that they have sinned against him like David. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy holy sight. Oh, I could go on recounting different ways which people have of shedding tears, and meaning thereby that something's going on in their souls. Oh, my hearers, I wouldn't want you to be deceived. I wouldn't want you to build upon tears, upon impressions, and upon emotions. But I want you builded and rooted and grounded upon the work of the living God. Oh, may you seek at the foot of Christ to have true repentance. For he is exalted to give repentance unto Israel and unto each and every sinner that comes to his blessed feet. And if he gives you repentance, it'll be a repentance that you will never repent of. You'll never be sorry if he makes you repent. Oh, it is true, you'll be sorry all the days of your life that you're such a sinner, but you'll never be sorry that he gave you to do that. Now my time is fast gone, my hearers. The Lord bless the feeble instruction which I have been trying to give to you this afternoon to your immortal souls. That's all for today.